We hear yet again from the Gospel of Mark and our continuing reading of Mark's Gospel. And perhaps it bears repeating what we've already said a couple of times, just to make sure that we've got it in our heads what's going on. And in fact, it helps us to understand a little bit more deeply and a little bit more clearly what the Gospel writer is trying to do, what he's trying to get across. You will recall for the last couple of weeks, we've discussed how Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. And in fact, the language in Mark's Gospel gives us a sense of real urgency. You will recall how we've talked about the use of that word, which in the Greek is a certain word that's repeated constantly through the Gospel. But our translation, for the sake of English flow and the flow of language and all of that, is various translated. And it means simply immediately. We constantly hear that word. It's usually a word of transition between one scene and another. And you will remember that the use of that term perhaps gives us this sense that not only is something happening in time right away, but Mark's purpose is to give us a sense of urgency, to move us on from the scene we're seeing now to the next one. And in fact, links them together so that somehow we see how all of it flows together. And we will remember that perhaps this sense of urgency is all about the timing of what Mark is trying to do, because as we've heard, scholars are telling us that this story of Mark's Gospel from beginning to end is not this long period of time, as it seems to be when we chop it up the way we do and read it in church in little snippets, but rather is one continuous story about the last week of Jesus' life. So all of these things we're hearing going on, told to us by the Gospeler Mark, is really a series of events that are happening in the last week of Jesus' life, which of course we know ends up with his passion and death on the cross. So we've heard him coming out of the wilderness. We heard last week how he cured a demon-possessed man while they were in synagogue. And today, we begin the gospel lesson by saying, when they left the synagogue, so already there is that notion of connecting things, and they went home. They went to Simon Peter's home. Simon and Andrew, they were brothers. And they went there, and they found that there was no dinner. There was no dinner. Because Peter's mother-in-law, Simon's mother-in-law, was sick. Sick with a fever. That's a very serious illness. And so there was no dinner prepared. Now, you also may remember that last week when we heard about the cure of the demon-possessed man, they were in the synagogue because it was the Sabbath day. They were worshiping together on the day of rest prescribed in the law. And so now they were completing their Sabbath worship in the synagogue, and they were going home. And it was the practice of the time that people didn't really prepare the meal on that day. It would have been prepared in advance so that we didn't work on the Sabbath. So Peter's mother-in-law was sick, not just that day. It wasn't like she just came down with something. But she had been sick for some time. Nothing was ready. And yet, Jesus goes to her, raises her up, takes her hand, it says, and raises her up. Now, there are some who would interpret this that Jesus did this because he wanted a hot meal. That somehow Jesus did this because, after all, that was women's job, was to create the meal for the household. And since she was sick and she was in charge of that household, well, you know, let's get to it, lady. But if that's the way we interpret it, I think we miss the point of the story. The important thing about that sentence, where it says that immediately she got up and began to serve them, gives us a little bit of insight as to why God tries to work in our lives to bring about healing and wholeness. Somehow we get it into our head that we're never supposed to be ill and we're never supposed to be broken, that we're never supposed to feel bad about anything. In fact, our culture wants to medicate us into some sort of feeling of well-being about absolutely everything. Life isn't like that. And in fact, most of us, as we gain in wisdom and in age, begin to realize that somehow it is in dealing with the unfortunate events of life that we gain deeper insight as to who we are and what the purpose of life really is. And so we need to ask ourselves for a moment in these first opening scenes of Mark's gospel, what is the purpose for Jesus' healing? He released a demon-possessed man in the synagogue, and now he's gone to the home. Now, they were in synagogue, it was the place of common worship, and now they're in the home, a private place. God worked healing in the midst of that community of faith, and now God is working healing again in the home. So this notion of bringing people to healing and wholeness has to be more than simply making us feel good, or even more than simply being utilitarian, where after all, because Simon's mother-in-law needed to make dinner, that we had to make sure that she got healed, otherwise we'd go hungry. No, there's nothing about that in the scriptures. The word that is used is the same word that is used where we get the root of the word deacon. It is diakonia. It isn't simply waiting on somebody to make sure that they have something to eat, but it is the kind of service that brings a bigger picture to reality. It's the kind of service that helps people establish relationships. It's the kind of service that actually begins to heal not only the individual, but the entire community. And so it is that we begin to understand this work of Jesus, this work of the kingdom of God that he's trying to proclaim, to be more than simply doing nice things for people and making them feel better in the course of their life, whether they are ill with something that is afflicting their body or perhaps something that is afflicting their mind or their heart or their soul. Somehow, bringing wholeness is for a bigger, larger purpose. God heals us not simply to make us feel good. God raises us up, God heals us, makes us whole again, so that we can be about God's business, so that we can be about the business of making the world a different place, so that we can be about the business of proclaiming, as Jesus says, the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom of peace and righteousness. This is why we are raised up. And when we are raised up, when we are made whole again, it is so that we can serve. You notice nobody told Peter's mother-in-law to get into the kitchen and make dinner and make sure everything is going on. She did it all on her own. She did it because she knew that this was the purpose for her healing. So too must it be with us. That as God reaches into our hearts and minds and seeks to make us whole again, that it is for God's purposes that these things are being done. So that we become God's agents in the world. So that we can become the transforming agents in the world. That the world is different because we have been touched by the power of God. This healing is more about more than simply having dinner. This healing is to teach us that we are being raised up even as God comes into our life in any moment and at any time to make us whole again so that we then can rally our strength and with the very presence of God not faint or fall or falter, but become agents of the very kingdom of God in our midst. This is Mark's lesson for us. As Jesus came out of the wilderness at the beginning of Mark's gospel, he said, "Change your lives, for the kingdom of God is among you." That's what he's asking us to do, and he's giving us all the tools we need. That's what these healing miracles are about. We are being told through these images that there is nothing in our lives that can keep us from doing the work of God. Whether it is the power of evil that can infiltrate us and our society, or whether it is the difficulties we experience in our physical lives, that none of that needs to stand in our way. That the power of God can make all things whole again if we are willing to accept that healing. And in accepting that healing and that wholeness, in whatever form it comes to us, we begin to realize that each of us and all of us are called to do something to make the kingdom of God real in our world. Change and transformation. That's the name of the game. That's what Jesus is doing in Mark's gospel. And we will see it over and over again. Even as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the holy season of Lent, preparing ourselves to celebrate and remember the passion and death of Christ, but most of all, to again proclaim his resurrection from the dead, the ultimate healing, a healing that says nothing in this world can stand between us and God, not even death itself. That's what we are given this day. And so, my friends, as we hear this story, let's not think of this merely as a nice miracle, as if Jesus is doing one of those miracle healing shows, but rather he's bringing people around, he's healing them and making them whole again so that they are fit for the work of the kingdom. This is what he does for you. This is what he does for me. And together, as God's people, we are powerful indeed.